Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. Each of those have an integral play in what we have to do or what I'm doing and what I need to do with you as well as our state legislators. So you are listening to the only show. There is no other show on the air that actually will provide you with a current or a very direct and succinct path in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. I know it's a bold assertion, but I am G.R. Mobley, and I'm reclaiming the Republic with your help, if you didn't know that. The number to call in is 215-867-8255, and the lines are open. And I do have to say that we've had some technical difficulties in the past with our phone system, and that's probably more due to my fault or configurations or what have you. But the other day when we had somebody call in that distracted me, and what ends up happening is the other people are using this phone system, so I get distracted. So if I seem to be all of a sudden not making coherent comments or what have you, then it's probably lent to, you know, something going on with the phone board or maybe some news flash or what have you, and the producer is out of the office. Anyway, long story short, the other day, somebody actually, the term, I guess, is butt dial. They accidentally dialed me with their cell phone, and I think I mentioned that before. So I've actually had, and I have been affected now by an on-air butt dial. So anyway, this show is dedicated, as you know, to supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. And it's very specific about state legislators because they're really the only ones that actually have, and apparently this is not a well-known thing, that the sovereigns within government are the legislators collectively because they actually have the ability to pass laws. And they actually have they're the ones that have the effect on our lives. The executives only enforce the laws. And the judges and the court system is only to intervene when there are discrepancies and or conflicts between parties and so forth. And so, to be very clear, the state legislators are the sovereigns over everything about the Constitution that has not been delegated. Therefore, all of these violations, and that's why Jefferson and Madison stood up. They went back to the state legislators and had them do the job that they were supposed to do because they didn't know to do that. And that's our exact same problem today. And that's why this show is dedicated to them. That's why I hope that I have plenty of state legislators call in over the course of this election. I've had a couple. And so I'm hoping to have more, and I hope to actually get you engaged so that you can help those who are actually going to help you by getting them in office and standing up and actually advocating for taking back all those roles, responsibilities, and powers that the federal government has no business in dealing with and doing so that we can be protected and actually restore our constitutional republic. And a good part of that, and a good part of this process, you cannot just get by with just focusing on the state legislators. We also have to get a concerted effort and a mutually benefiting symbiotic relationship with those grassroots leaders. That's why I go through this quite a bit, because you need to understand this. You need to understand why the central committees and the grassroots leaders are the critical players in this process, because we need them to control the brand. We want to basically ensure that we have a much harder process and a much more stringent vetting so that when somebody's wearing the Republican label or the Constitution Party label or the Libertarian Party label, what that means should mean a lot more than just a party name. And so that's why there has to be some cleanup and some fine tuning. It's not that it's all messed up. The point is that it can be fine-tuned so that we can be far more effective in what needs to get done. I hope that makes sense. Because bottom line, the process that we have is not cutting it, because when you get people wearing your label or wearing your brand like John McCain and others like that, that actually just do nothing but tarnish and create a bad stigma to the name or what that means, then people go, well, of course there's confusion over what a Republican means, or same thing with a Libertarian. And so I just want to be clear that this show is really dedicated to both the grassroots leaders and, more importantly, those 5,445 state legislators who are out there trying to play into the game or get into this game. And that's why I'm going out of my way to sponsor and actually endorse these candidates who are willing to commit to protecting the free our liberties and our freedom. And that's why I'm asking you, and this is where you can come in. You can easily just throw $5, whatever you can throw at these candidates will not kill you if you do that on a weekly basis. And I'll tell you what, just try this for 1 year. Let's get these folks in and let's see what happens next year, because you'll be able to tune in and keep watching as this, as these measures and tests, as we throw these things out there in 2019 in these sessions coming up. Let's see what this, what kind of fruit comes off these trees. And I will bet you that it'll be sweeter and it will be richer and it will be, you know, more healthy, and it will be the best thing that we've got going, because there is no other tangible solution that is actually going to turn this republic around. And so we're going to get a ground game going. We are going to get organized, as I was talking to some other people. And there's people that are getting invigorated in this. And just to be clear, I really don't care who gets into this, as long as we all agree on what the standards are. And those standards have to be individual liberty and individual sovereignty. You got an agenda. You got the log cabin Republicans' agenda. You're not welcome here. If you've got some agenda for some demographics, gender, whatever it is, that's not welcome here. It's about individual liberty and individual sovereignty. We have no biases or lenses on demographics, genders, or anything like that. It's about making sure that everybody is equally protected under the law and under the Constitution, and ensuring that the federal government is working within the framework of the Constitution and not arbitrarily deciding who gets a benefit and who doesn't get a benefit. And so I hope all that makes sense. And I just want to also give you some good news. I actually have the crowdfunding banking done. I did not have time today to go out and give you, create the account and give you the links and so forth. So that will be forthcoming. Tomorrow's Friday. My schedule's packed. It'll probably happen this weekend. I apologize. I know everybody's probably got, you know, thousands of dollars saved up that they can throw into this crowdfunding. And of course, I'm still that funny man behind the microphone. But anyway, let me move on. I just want to let you know that it is coming and it's getting close. And I do need help. Do not hesitate. If you've got a computer, you've got a phone, and you have some time, I can help show you what and how easy it is to make an impact. I mean, all of these things that have been happening with legislators and so forth, and signing up and signing petitions and getting on board with this, ideologically, principally, and whatever, it's only because I've been taking the effort in getting this information out and doing that, and with a little bit of help from a few people. But bottom line, I could use a lot more help, and I need a lot more help. So if you have the time, you've got the resources, let me know. And we will move forward together and reclaim this republic. There's plenty of room on the stage here. As a matter of fact, I don't have to be the front man. I told people, if somebody had the same integrity and honor and commitment into this as I do, then by all means, let's move forward together, and or you can lead. Anyway, as I've interviewed the Wyoming governors, and we played those last Friday and Monday, what is next? The email's going out tonight. I didn't have any time last night. I was literally on the phone till past midnight talking to candidates. But why is this important? Because I want to make sure, and I hope you go back, because the podcasts are out there, I hope you go back and listen to how the candidates answered the questions. These weren't tough questions. I wasn't, you know, giving them really tough constitutional questions. It was more of a paradigm or, you know, a perception type of question. How do they perceive things and what do they see? And so the whole point is, do they see something different now that they've been given the, you know, the filter or a lens that I've been working and looking through? And so bottom line, we'll see. We'll see what happens, what changes, who comes back on. But I believe this is important because this is the metal of the politician. I think that there's many a times, and I don't care if Trump or anybody comes back and says, you know what, I misspoke, or, you know, this is what I meant. I didn't even care when Romney or even Kerry says, you know, I've changed my mind. It all depends on how they do it, though, right? If all of a sudden they just deny that they ever did that or said that, then that's not honest. But when they come back and say, you know, when I was a kid, or, you know, when I was younger, or, you know, started off in politics, that was my perspective. And now that I've seen this, these things have influenced me. And now I believe that I was wrong and I need to change my course. And I believe this is a more accurate, a more true course based on my principles, based on our principles, what have you. That's what a leader does. Anyway, as you can tell, I'm up at a hard break, but I do have some really good information for you. And we do have the Virginia resolutions coming up. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back to edify you. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And a part of that dialogue is the typical what's going on in the news. Did you see that the federal government is going to disband the EPA? I didn't either, because that's not going to happen. And even if they did do it, the next ideological leftist that actually takes office will resurrect that and actually put it on steroids and give it more power. And it will unleash even more tyranny and despotism against the citizens of this United States. Therefore, if we are going to remove the tyranny from our lives, it is not dependent on the federal government to do it. It is dependent upon us in getting our state legislators to do that, as I started off in this show. That is why on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, I actually have candidates that actually have stepped into the fray that are willing to protect you and protect every one of us, their constituents, and the entire citizenry of the United States to actually shut down this federal leviathan and return us back to a constitutional republic. So therefore, it really requires you and I to do something, and we have to express succinctly, because if you watch that video, and I'll go back to that, go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, the Take Action page. I have a video right about 4 minutes into the video, maybe a little further, but it's at the very beginning of this video. I have this Leviathan, this huge monster with all these different hands. And you can chase your favorite issue, whether that be abortion, whether it be immigration, whether that be health care, Obamacare, whether that be Common Core, I don't care. If you chase that issue, we will never win. And the reason why our legislators do not understand what needs to happen is because everybody is directing them towards their pet peeves. Oh, well, you got to stop this immigration problem. You got to stop this abortion problem. You got to stop this Common Core. We have to be very succinct, and we have to be very concise with this message to our state legislators. And that message must be, get the federal government into compliance to the Constitution before they destroy us, because that is our greatest problem. There is no doubt. Every time I talk to anybody, nobody will deny that. It is the overall lack of compliance to the Constitution that is causing all of our problems, or almost 99% of our problems. Your abortion problem would go away. Your immigration problem will go away. Common Core will go away because the federal government will no longer have any delegated roles, responsibilities, or powers to it to do those things if they are abiding by the Constitution. Those things go back to the states. And now if you're not happy with what the state is doing, then you can move from one state to the next. Or you can start working with those red county commissioners and get them to reel in the state constitution by calling for a state constitutional convention, because many states need this. Many states need their state constitution literally revamped and getting back to the American republicanism and aligning with the guarantee clause, or that republican form of government that we're supposed to be abiding by. Even the state's constitutions are not abiding by the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 4. And so if we get the federal government to start obeying, then the smaller problems like the states, then we can work on those. And these things will actually fall into place as we start getting concise and succinct with this message. And I hope that makes sense. And so my standing question, anybody that wants to call in, have a little talk about why is it important in reading our founding documents. Why is it so important that we all need to read these things? And why is it that the education system does not have you read them? They may have you read the Declaration of Independence, but that by itself does not clarify and give anybody a profound understanding of our founding principles and our founding system itself. It is literally just the start. It's the same thing as just reading the Magna Carta. That was the start there. So you have to understand the history of the Magna Carta, the Glorious Revolutions, and moving forward to our Constitution and the ratification debates. And all of those are critical documents to understand. And so the question is, why is it so important that we read those things? Well, anyway, let me move forward. Just to repeat, I am on Saturday guest hosting for Douglas V. Gibbs on KMET in Southern California. That's this Saturday from 1 to 3. And I actually, at the 2 o'clock hour, sometime thereafter, I will have Alan Meyer, an economist. I think he's in the San Diego County area. He'll be on, and I want to talk to him about this controversy between Trump and the Fed and what the problems there are. I also wanted to get into this this history. Get your head around this. Have you ever heard of the term, you know, there used to be, you know, contracts used to be by the shaking of a hand. That's how contracts were done. You basically said, you're going to do this, he's going to do that, and you shook hands and you agreed and you walked away. And that's how contracts were done. So my question for you is, when was it the contracts became so extensive and so difficult and so arduous in the process? Well, I can tell you, when it came to government, the framers understood why it was important to have a nailed down contract, have a nailed down constitution. The question I have for you is, at what point in time did they actually start creating, you know, this professional contract oversight and engagement and that type of thing? Because today, companies have literally teams. It's a part of a legal team, a financial team, and so forth that literally manages contracts. The globalist company that I worked for, they had a huge team. They had a good-sized team that was constantly working on the contracts and trying to define them and so forth. And so that didn't happen other than the framers and the state legislators during the ratification debates with the Constitution as a contract. And once it was done, it moved forward. They knew that if they didn't lock it down, it would be a matter of time where they would literally start, you know, sidestepping and doing all sorts of things. Now, they did, in some ways, Hamilton did with the Assumption Act in 1792. John Marshall started doing that as the judiciary, and even Congress tried to do it a few times. But the presidents themselves, they kind of kept things in check until, I would say, well, John Adams stepped on it with the Sedition Act, right? I mean, they all kind of did their own little twists and jabs to the Constitution, but nothing like today. Nothing like today. I mean, it's like the presidents and Congress today have no understanding of the Constitution. What they're going by is how the globalists and the lobbyists and everybody else wants them to go. And if you've heard, there's an annotated constitution of how they perceive the Constitution and how they're going to respond and act accordingly based on that annotated constitution. Well, I'm going to tell you that there's nowhere in the Constitution that the states are living by, that the states should be living by, that's annotated or allows or gives the government any degree of allowance to slide, skid, or do anything outside that contract. The problem is that, again, the states have been hoodwinked, and they currently embrace this concept that, you know, because they've been told this by jurists and so forth for a couple hundred years. Academics have rewritten history to make sure that they can interpret the Constitution any way they want to. And that was never the intent. That is not the intent. If you read the founding documents, if you read the principal arguments of the contract as they were agreeing to it, that is well outside the boundaries. And so I hope this all makes sense. But the point is, we need to bring honor back into the picture. We need to get this this whole concept of, you know, we need a lawyer to interpret what the Constitution says. I disagree with that. And that's one of the reasons why I talked yesterday about, you know, creating honors, what do you want to call that? Like a grassroots interface to basically start, you know, establishing principles and establishing high character, integrity, and honor back into the political system so that it is about the Constitution. It is not about an agenda. It is not about giving somebody a favor so that their business can employ a few more people or make a few more dollars. It should never be about that. That is a corrupt government when it starts doing that. A government should be out of the way, have no influence on that, and it should ensure that every business has an equal opportunity, that there are no advantages whatsoever. Now, I don't know if you heard in the news, but this is interesting. Hungary joins the United States in withdrawing from the UN. And I'm not sure if you heard earlier, but Hungary also declared a few months back, probably the beginning of the year, that they are a Christian nation. So with all these Islamists that are in their borders and country, are within their country as the refugees, because I think they stopped that as well, they basically poked them in the eye and says, well, we are now officially a Christian nation. So if you have any ideas about changing things, you can't now. Or at least they're trying to create that barrier so that they can't do that. I do have a couple of comments regarding the ruling and the perception of that ruling on the California state split up. And it bothers me. And I just want to let you know there is a constitutional perspective of this. And so we're at a hard break. But that doesn't mean that we won't be back, because we will. This is only the end of the second segment. We got two more segments to go. We will get into those Virginia resolution for 1798. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So thank you so much, and please stay tuned. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And I want to do a go back, because that promo, every time I hear that, I go, you know, I got to do a go back on that, because I think sometimes as these new listeners are starting to tune in and as this show grows, some people don't understand what those businesses that are supporting social justice are. That would be the NFL. They're definitely a business that is supporting the social justice in America. NBA is another one. And Hollywood, the news medias, all of those businesses are lock, stock, in step with the socialist program of engaging and trying to guarantee social justice. And that is socialism. So I just want you to know, because the NFL season is coming up, and how soon we may forget, even though there may be, it seemed like a riff over this concept of the, you know, respecting the flag and the national anthem and so forth, but really it is about social justice. It's about they wanting to move this country in a direction that will be even another nail in the coffin to seal our death. And so let's be clear. If you're going to support the NFL, you're only supporting them in supporting social justice. If you want them to change their tune, because it's a free market, then you really need to get on board with something else. You know, hockey's a good thing, and baseball does. Hockey and baseball do not seem to be the sports that are going out of the way, giving literally millions of dollars, like the NFL is, for social justice types of programs and inner city things like that. Those are not compassionate services. Those are services that are designed to help grow social justice and the education for that and so forth. So I just hope that we all start putting our money where our mouth is and where our heart is in supporting those things that actually elevate society instead of bringing it down and debasing it. So anyway, this ruling that the Supreme Court had stepped into had nothing to do with the Constitution. And their ruling, basically, I kind of paraphrase, or I'll read this little paragraph here, where California has two seats. And this is the boiled down or the distilled concept of why the court ruled the way they did, where California has two seats in the 100-person U.S. Senate. The three states would then have six seats in a 104 chamber. In other words, that means that they would have the two people wouldn't have seats. They could grow it. They could make some changes. They get rid of the seats and put benches in, right? That would dilute the power of the other states and increase the power of what used to be a single state if its six senators banded together on various issues. That has nothing to do with the Constitution. There is no jurisdiction and there is no base for them to make that kind of ruling. The ruling is that the Constitution allows states to be split. It has nothing to do whether the chambers can accommodate it, and it has nothing to do whether it dilutes the power of other states, because actually it doesn't dilute any power. Currently, the Senate does not represent the states. The Senate represents globalists, and it represents the socialist movement of people. As a matter of fact, we might as well just disband and go to a unicameral legislative body and let people, you know, give everything to Congress, right? Because what is the difference? The appointment of senators used to be by the states, and that's how they actually had state interest. Now it is supposedly by the people, and it really has everything to do, because I challenge you, look at where the money comes from in these Senate races. It comes from big corporations and lobbyists, and it has nothing, literally nothing to do with the people at all, other than the fact that the people are being manipulated into voting for the most friendly to the lobbyist and globalist agenda. If we want to move back towards a state-controlled Senate, then it has to start with the seven states that rejected the 17th Amendment. That would be Utah, Georgia, and a few other states. Just go look it up. But what they can do is they can no longer vote or no longer allow the people to vote, because the Article 5 of the Constitution, the very last line, basically states that no state shall lose its equal suffrage in the Senate without its consent. And so when we're talking about the state, that we're talking about the state as a constituent, not as the people. Or they would have said that the people would not lose its equal representation in the Senate without their consent. They would have put it in that context. But no, it's the state, because the states are the constituents for the Senate, and the people were the constituents for the House. This was literally a block to keep the Senate from being moved into a form of democracy, to ensure that the republicanism, American republicanism, was protected. That's why these two clauses at the end of Article 5 are considered the amendment protection clauses. One was to protect the shutting down of the slave trade of 1808, and the other one was to protect the states from losing their control and their suffrage in the Senate. So, what can be done is, because in 2012, the federal government allowed one state, I think it was Delaware, it might have been Maryland, but they allowed one state to rescind its rejection and actually ratify it. In legal sense, you cannot allow the door to swing both ways. So what that means is they can now allow other states to then reject their or rescind their acceptance, their ratification, and then reject it. I think Oklahoma should be one. I would love to see Texas do this. I would love to see Wyoming. I would love to see all these red states actually, you know, in their 2019 sessions, step up and say, you know what, we're no longer going to, we want to retract our ratification of the 17th Amendment. And what will happen when we all of a sudden get 14, 13, 14, 15 states that have rejected it? Does that mean the 17th Amendment is still ratified, or does it just basically die on the vine and go away? Who has jurisdiction over this? This is a political issue. This is not a law issue. And political issues go to Congress. So I know that the Senate will look at this as a huge threat. Those senators that are, you know, in league with all of these globalists who have been buying them and basically pulling their strings. And I'm just telling you that if you want to really create a real dust storm and want to have an effect on that swamp, the 17th Amendment is a good trigger point to do that. The guarantee clause is another one, as I was saying earlier. But I do want to move forward because I think somehow I'm going to be running out of time. And as I do, I may not get into the Virginia resolution, so I want to get into those. I did want to, and I mentioned that yesterday regarding the cartels of honor, that, you know, we can get politics back into an honorable business. But hopefully, and I think the most important part, because I didn't get into this, is in creating this honorable business of politics, it can actually create a door for businesses to start getting involved as well, where businesses and patriots can start bonding together and working to counter the flood of money from the globalists and the billions. And we don't have to counter it dollar for dollar, my friends. All we have to do is get the message out good enough. All we have to do is make sure that everybody understands that the people that are supporting this candidate are the globalists that want your liberty taken away from you. They're supporting these Agenda 21 issues. They're supporting enslavement of the United States. Let's be clear. And as we start educating people, this is no longer going to be hoodwinking. This is going to be profound knowledge. People will understand and go, Oh, okay. Wow. Shoot, I'm going to start voting for this label or these very specific type of people. And I can tell you that if you vote and support the people on the Reclaiming the Republic candidate endorsement page, go there, give those friends some money, whether that be $5, whether that be $2, contribute, please. I'm begging you. If you contribute to these folks that are willing to protect us from federal tyranny, even though they may be in a different state, it will have a rippling effect, because as one state stands up, it will start growing. This is the movement, my friends. And so anyway, what is also important is a key to our success, and this is a really important factor. I want you to get your arms around this, that we have to put aside our differences and our self-interest. Moving into the election and moving in towards the general as all these primaries start to close, I hope everybody starts bringing out all of the marketing that I think is more than adequate to start putting around the necks of the Democrats, that they have been nothing but obstructionist in trying to get the president's cabinets through. I mean, he still does not have his cabinet set up. I think every Democrat should be saddled with literally bags of human waste around their necks that's piling up in these Democratic strongholds like San Francisco and Seattle. And in spite of spending $37,000 per homeless person in San Francisco, they still have a problem that they can't control. And so you see what happens when you enable bad behavior and you give away the public purse for nothing but just because you're so noble and you're doing a good thing. What has been happening is not a good thing. They've been enabling bad behavior at the expense of hardworking taxpayers. This is marketing, my friends. These politicians are enabling those bad behaviors and drug use and so forth. If you want to get this turned around, we have to get government out of the welfare business, if that makes sense. I got to go. We'll be right back after word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned, and I will have the Virginia resolutions right after this. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And before I get into this, I just want to kind of make a comment, because I try to plug this every once in a while, because the show is growing, and it's good to see that there are more and more people that are far more interested in a tangible solution than just listening to some really well-polished public speaker basically entertaining them with their wit and so forth. And so now we're going to get into the educational part of the program, where you're actually going to get some information. But before I read Madison's words here, I always ask this one fundamental question. Are the words in our founding documents that I'm citing, these words of Madison, are these the words of deceit? Or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges and professors, lawyers, politicians, bureaucrats, are those the words of deceit? Have we been lied to? I think I've already made that conclusion a long time ago, but you have to come to that conclusion, and you have to get upset. You have to get motivated to take action. And so I am not the most eloquent public speaker, nor am I the most motivating public speaker. So this is why I have to barrage you with a lot of different content and my bad humor. I'm sorry. But if I don't, then I can't get you to start looking at things from different perspectives to convince you that you have to get involved. This guy behind the microphone cannot do this by himself. He needs you. He needs good patriots that are willing to take a little bit of a plunge. I mean, what's $5 going to kill you? What is $2? $2, $3? Whatever you can spend on throwing at these candidates that are literally on my candidate endorsement page, I plead to you, I implore you to step up and do this for your country. Save the Constitution. There is no other way. If you do not, if you have questions on whether this is the way to do it, then call or send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will respond to you. I will help you get convinced and bring you on board. every time I sit down with people, unless they have their own self-interests and this will not serve them, then most everybody gets on board. But the only people that won't, literally, they won't because of self-interest. They cannot. As a matter of fact, I've argued with a lot of academics on this. And been very, not disrespectfully argued, but I've argued with a lot. Nobody can refute what I'm saying. Nobody would ever try to, because they know they would be lying and they'd be wrong. What they try to do is, oh, you can't do it. It won't work. We're too far gone. Well, we've been doing this. Can't we just continue? You would not allow your employer to continue to trash your employment contract, would you? If he started paying you in pine cones, would you let him do that? No, you'd probably quit and take him to court. Especially if your contract actually articulates that you are to be paid in U.S. currency instead of the value of something. Anyway, excuse me. This is Madison. This is after he stepped into the Virginia legislators while they were in session, or brought them back into session. I don't necessarily know the history. They probably were in session at the time because it was after harvest, and they did like working during the wintertime, so they had different seasonal breaks. But anyway, this is what he says. Resolved that the General Assembly of Virginia doth unequivocally express a firm resolution to maintain and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state against every aggression, either foreign or domestic, and that they will support the government of the United States in all measures warranted by the former. In other words, all measures warranted by the Constitution. So the second one is, this assembly most solemnly declares a warm attachment to the Union of States, to maintain which it pledges all its power, and that for this end it is their duty to watch over and oppose every infraction. Let me go back. This is important that you catch this, that it is the state's responsibility. He says it is their duty to watch over and oppose every infraction in those principles which constitute the only basis of that union. So those principles being the Constitution, which is what constitutes the basis of the union, right? It is the Constitution that constitutes the basis of all the states being together. Because, I go on, he says, because a faithful observance of them can alone secure its existence and the public happiness. So the third paragraph is that this assembly doth explicitly and peremptorily declare that it views the powers of the federal government as resulting from the compact. Now, what is that compact? So if you've been listening to the show, my listeners know that that compact is the Constitution. It is a contract. It is a compact to which the states are parties as limited. So he's defining this contract as limited by the plain sense and intentions of the instrument constituting the compact, as no further valid that they are authorized by the grants enumerated in that compact. So in other words, the only things they can do are those things that are enumerated in that. And that in case of a deliberate, palpable, or blatant and dangerous exercise of powers not granted by the said compact, the states, again, the states, now these are the constituents, not the people, so this means the state legislators, who are parties thereto, have the right and are duty bound. Hope you get that. These state legislators that are running, they are duty bound. So the fact that I have these state legislators on my ReclaimingTheRepublic.org candidate endorsement page, they are actually aware of their duty and responsibility to step in, interpose, and arrest this unconstitutional behavior by this general government. And so that is why I'm begging and pleading that you can please take a minute tonight and throw $5 of love to these gentlemen. If everybody that is listening, we're talking tens of thousands of people, if even 50% of the people listening today listening right now actually contributed to these fine men and actually, you know, sent them $5. We're talking about giving them a huge political advantage in their contest over their opponent. That's huge. That would almost, I would say that would guarantee their opportunity to go to the state legislature session in 2019 and actually step forward and call upon their fellow state legislators to join them in moving this. And in addition, we will be working with them as we set up a ground game to identify those loggerheads that refuse to recognize this duty-bound obligation as a state legislator, as Madison is saying. This isn't GR. This is James Madison, the guy that wrote the Constitution, that is saying these guys are duty-bound. These people, guys and gals, they're duty-bound. Do you get that? And they haven't been doing this. And I finally got a small cadre of people that are willing to do this. And this is where I need your help, because GR does not have the rich uncle to buy these things. I'm not Soros. If we, and that's why I'm saying, if you really fathom how what little we have to do this, because it doesn't cost us thousands of dollars. It'll only cost us maybe $100. If we committed to throwing $5 out a week to get to the primary, that would be, that wouldn't even be $100. Because we're talking about, what, a month, 4 weeks? So that's, what, $20 or $40 if you throw in a little more. Tip these guys. Give them six. My point is that that is nothing in comparison. And as we start affecting these races, yours truly, GR, is going to get into the headlights of these globalists, because they're going to realize that I actually have a plan that will destroy their hold on America. That we, actually, it's not I have a plan. I found the plan that Jefferson and Madison right here basically gave us enough detail in these resolutions. This is what we have to do. I'm not doing something out of my own accord, you know, some wild thing that I'm going to get chicken feathers and throw some pig blood on it and stir it up in a cauldron. No, this is what they did. That's all I've extrapolated here, folks. I've just put this into the 21st century to be able to apply today's technology, communications, and so forth. And we are actually able, with this technology over the internet and airwaves, we're actually able to start working together, putting aside our differences and our self-interest, and actually helping those who are willing to stand up in front of that beast. And we're talking about a very cold-hearted, cruel beast that has done some pretty mean things. And these men are willing to stand up and actually interpose for our behalf. I don't know how beautiful that is. I want you to understand that. And so I'll go on, and he says, and dangerous exercises of their powers not granted by the said compact. The states who are the parties thereto have the right and are duty-bound to interpose for arresting the progress of evil and for maintaining within their respective limits the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them. That's what these state legislators have been supposed to be doing. They've been asleep at the wheel for 2 centuries, and it's time to wake them up if we have any intentions in trying to save this republic and saving our Constitution. That is why this show is the only show that is asserting a constitutional solution. That is why this show is not, I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to help pull us together and lead us in reclaiming the republic. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the republic with your help. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.